We welcome everyone back to our service this evening. I got to tell you, I have a real hard time selecting what to speak about if I'm not assigned a topic. I started last Monday and I looked through hundreds. I looked through all of the sermons of Let the Bible Speak that I had that Brother Brian fixed for us in a notebook, plus it's online. I looked at and just didn't seem right. So Thursday afternoon, Jeff came by and I said, "Listen, Jeff, I'm having a real problem." I said, "I have a lesson Sunday afternoon and I'm not sure what to speak on." I said, "You know, just tell me, just give me a topic." And he thought for about 2 minutes and he looked at me and said, "The shortest verse in the Bible." He said, "You need to speak on that." He said, "You know, when people read that, Jesus wept. They know the story. And they know that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And we know that Jesus knew that. So what was his reason that he wept during this time?" So that's the lesson I'm speaking on. The shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The reading, I'm going to read John 11, 28 through 37. "When she had said this, she went away and called Mary her sister, saying secretly, 'The teacher is here and is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she got up quickly and was coming to him. Now Jesus had not come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and consoling her, when they saw that Mary got up quickly and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled, and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said to him, 'Lord, come and see.' Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?'" Before we continue, let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. While studying for the lesson, I found a story by a lady by the name of Sherry Abbott. And Reasons for Hope is the title. Story about a young boy. It says, "When I was a young child, my father would quiz me with this trivia question. 'What is the shortest verse in the Bible?' The answer was simple. Jesus wept. He says, I always got it right, but still my father would continue to ask the question from time to time. I don't remember how often he asked or how many times, but I do know that it was enough so that I remember it being repetitive. As an adult, I have often wondered why my father asked that question so often. I lost my father when I was only 21, so I've never been able to ask him. Maybe there was a reason he liked that bit of trivia. Perhaps the verse was his way of remembering Jesus was human, like us. Or maybe it was his way of telling me that Jesus understood the pain of losing a loved one, and that it's okay for me to cry. Maybe still the verse had told him it was okay to cry in a time of grief. I just don't know. I never ask. But what I do know is that when we all weep, we all grieve. And that our Lord experienced the same depths of sorrow and sadness that we do. Therefore, Jesus is able to not only comfort us in our trials and tribulations, but also in our sorrows and sadness. As I think about my father at this time of year, I wish I could have known him longer and spent more time with him during my adult years. It would have been fun to share with him a bit of trivia of my own. Interesting story. The scripture records in the Bible three times that Jesus wept. The first time here in John chapter 11, Jesus wept when he heard of the death of his friend Lazarus. Of course, Jesus knew that he could and that he would raise Lazarus back to life. But the context of the verse also shows that he knew of the pain and suffering of death that it brings to those who lose a loved one. Death is the consequences of sin and will always be a reminder that things on earth are not as God really intended for them to be. God gave Adam and Eve his perfect love, but they surrendered to their own lust and sin and death. And sin and death entered the world. And we weep when a loved one dies. And Jesus wept when Lazarus died. J.W. McGarvey, in his book, The Fourfold Gospel, he said this. This is not the verb for wailing, but for shedding of tears. Here, as a friend, he mingled tears with the two broken-hearted sisters, thus assuring us of his sympathy with the individual grief of each lowly disciple. There were tears of sympathy. A sympathetic physician, says Neander, in the midst of a family drowned with grief, will not his tears flow with theirs, though he knows he has the power of giving immediate relief. In the collective writings of W.E. Vine in Volume 1, he says, there was more than the sight of human sorrow in this, more than sympathy with the sorrowing. Sympathy there was indeed. He knew the feelings and emotions of every heart in the company, but he knew more than this. He knew all the circumstances of fallen humanity and brought about death and all of its woes. The sin of ignorance of all were laid open to his infinite mind. The touching detail, so briefly told, discloses his combined deity and also his humanity. Jesus loved his friend, and he wept over sin and death. The second time, we find in Luke 19 and verse 41. There it says, when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. In this verse, we are told that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Again, God had given Adam and Eve a perfect garden and perfect communion with him. When they sinned, they lost everything. But God, in his mercy and grace, began preparing a way to rescue mankind. He raised up a people and gave them a land that would be their own land. In that promised land was God's city, Jerusalem, the city of peace. God first gave his people a garden, and next he gave his people a city, a place to dwell. A city on a hill, shining as a light in the land of Israel. And yet, in their disobedience, they failed to keep it holy and set apart for God's purpose and for God's plan. Luke 19, verse 41 through 44. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children with you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Again, in J.W. McGarvey's Fourfold Gospel, he says the summit of Olivet is 200 feet higher than the nearest part of the city of Jerusalem, and it's 100 feet higher than the farthest part. So that the Lord looked upon the whole of it as one looks upon an open book. As he looked upon it, he realized the difference between what his coming might mean to it and what it did mean to it. Between the love and gratitude which his coming should have incited and the hatred and violence which it did incite. Between the forgiveness, blessings, and peace which he desired to bring it and the judgment, wrath, and destruction which were coming upon it. The vision of it all excited strong emotions, and the verb used does not indicate silent tears, but audible sobbing and lamentation. The day then passing was among the last before the crucifixion, which would present to the Jews a strong motive for repentance. Had Jerusalem hearkened to Jesus then, he would have saved her from the self-exaltation which proved her ruin. But bigotry and prejudice blinded her eyes. Jesus looked out upon God's city, and just as in times past, Jerusalem was now a city controlled by a pagan world power. Jesus loved Jerusalem, and he wept over that city. The third time in the Bible is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed to his Father, knowing what was soon to take place. He was in extreme anguish, and we read in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 44, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground." Some will debate whether he wept tears from his eyes. The scripture tells that his body now wept with his sweat, and it was as of great drops of blood. This certainly was deep grief, accompanied by weeping great drops of blood. Perhaps these were tears from the heart of his being. But with such intense anguish, it's likely these tears of blood were accompanied by tears also flowing from his eyes. Jesus loved his friend Lazarus, and he wept at his death. Jesus loved his city of Jerusalem, and he wept at the thought of its departure. Jesus hated sin, and he wept, knowing the high price he would pay to redeem mankind. There is no greater love. It was the love of the Father for his creation that he sent Jesus to live among us and to die for us. We read in John 3, verse 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." It is the love of the Father for us that we are made alive in Christ through his life, death, and through his resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through verse 22, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive." We are the ones that deserve to hang on the cross. Jesus was the only one who could take upon himself our sin, pay the penalty for it, and secure forgiveness and eternal life for all mankind. He lived the life we could not live, and he died the death that we should die. And in his life, Jesus experienced all the pain and suffering that we know. And therefore, when we weep, we can find refuge and strength in him. And we can know that he is our very present help in all of our troubles. Psalms 46, verse 1 through verse 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations make an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. In closing, I ask the question. In John 11:35, is this really the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. It is the shortest verse in the Bible, in the English Bible, in the Bible as we have it. And I didn't know this. Probably everyone else in the assembly does, but I didn't know this. Technically, it is not the shortest verse in the Bible. In the original Greek language, John 11:35 reads this first Greek word over here, which I cannot pronounce. That is John 11:35. It's got 16 Greek letters, and it literally means Jesus shed tears. Another verse, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16, in the Greek reads this second word. It only has 14 Greek letters, where the first word has 16 Greek letters. So, in the original language, the shortest verse in the Bible is 1 Thessalonians 5 and 16. Rejoice forevermore. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I didn't know that. While John 11:35 is the shortest verse, it's not the shortest verse in the original language. Okay, very interesting study. I appreciate Jeff's input on that. If there's one that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand and sing.